Hey folks, it's the 21st of April, 2009. It's Joe Anybody here. I think this is podcast number 4, and it's going to contain 2 subjects here, and do a little bit of reading and a little bit of commenting. The first thing I'd like to mention is I am playing some background music, and I'm listening to Pandora Internet Radio, pandora.com. I'm going to be reading from The Whiskey and Gunpowder, which is an independent investor's daily guide to gold and commodities, profits, and freedom. It's a good economic little website that I get an email from every now and then, and it's rather interesting usually, although they tend to be conservative and I think tend to be right-wingish and pro-U.S. imperialism. That's just my 10-cent view, and I don't know a lot about them. I think it's an older gentleman that writes this, maybe in his late 50s. I'm just guessing. Tax Day Tea Parties Unite. Let's see here. And maybe, just maybe, you are one of the thousands that gathered in various towns and cities around America to protest this hefty bill on Tax Day, April 15th, in a little tradition we call the Tea Party. Some say it's not so much of a tradition as it is a neocon Fox News phenomenon, a Fox populism. Others cry from the blogosphere, here's the crowning demonstration of a new era of McCarthyism from a bunch of malcontents. Malcontent being a fancy word for ne'er do wells. Leveling less dignified terms at those they see as other ne'er do wells, those embracing the welfare state. When the mud starts flying, everyone comes out looking awful foolish. But it's good to see a bona fide non-hippie. Now here's what this guy's writing. He goes, but it's good to see a bona fide non-hippie liberal, green, contingent take to the streets for something. Well, isn't that good for what? I mean, the people who sit around and complain. I just gotta, you know, the way they wrote that, non-hippie liberal green. Basically, this person would be snub-nosing the hippie liberal green until he has an issue and he wants to take it to a street, then all of a sudden he wants to have a protest. And that's what I found by my own personal view of going to these tea party, the one tea party here in town. Not only was it just a really mixed hodgepodge of all kinds of issues and some confusing ones, I think even progressive lefts and liberals were there, as well as conservatives and right-wing and rich anti-socialists, anti-Obama, anti-left people were certainly there. And that was primarily the feeling I had. It was more generated that way. Nonetheless, as I digress, I want to read this guy's account of what he went through. Going back to the article, Gary Gibson and I got on the Baltimore Light Rail at 10:30 a.m., southbound to Glen Burnany in Maryland, thus rendezvous point with one of the 4 organizers of the state capitol's Tea Party, Pat. Imagine, in the face of such nasty weather, signs streaming south to an Annapolis harbor all the way from Route 50. Crowds poured from church parking lots and garages. We noted bitterly not being able to park in the Annapolis' newest and fanciest garage, which was roped off especially for employees of the state. Well, they want to complain about that. Well, anyway, I'm poking fun. Forget I said that. I was being facetious. Some 2,000 souls, we were told from the podium speakers, gathered on the waterfronts and blocked the wooden docks of this colonial, quaint little capital. Our count exceeded 700 for sure. There's a picture here on the website of this girl, a little girl holding this big sign, as tall as she is. She's probably about 5 years old. It says, "Don't bankrupt my future." I've seen signs like that here in Portland as well. I didn't quite get it. Commerce-wise, we succeeded in only in blocking a few tourists from finding their way to the Starbucks, a breach clearly mended by the protesters who were cold in the pouring friggin' rain and needed caffeinated reinforcements. The protest was a little of every man for himself. Oh, I bet it was. Each sign was its own platform. Jeez, I think I mentioned that. One man might protest the creation of the Federal Reserve. His sign, a parade of historic personages, in yellow and red, ending with Obama's face with underneath it, proudly bailing out since 1913. And another man in a camouflage poncho simply holds up a piece of cardboard stating, global what? See, that's what I mean. When I was looking at some of these signs, I'm like, global what? Well, what? Global warming? Global you do, you don't know? I mean, it was just, you know, it was kind of like, it almost seemed idiotic in a sense. You know, these vague, beat around the bush for, I don't know. Let's continue with the letter here. So each man, a woman, and child foisted up his own complaint. There was no overwhelming unity, only a couple hundred voices that cried, throw the bums out, cut our taxes. This is always encouraging. I like my demonstrations and parades a little disunited. Otherwise, I start to worry about the check marches and beer hall puchas and other sundry uglinesses of human meat ideals meet the streets. Oh boy. Cut to a man in white gaiters and a kilt with a sign, bring back the Brits, they taxed us less. On the way to the harbor, the local oyster house hoisted a sign, Somalia has nasty pirates, we have legislators. Well, that was a pretty good one. See there, as the confusion is, I'd probably agree with that. Best of all were the protesting babes in arms of mother, little girls of 16 months in ma's arms, and the sign, my children don't want to pay for your toys. Wasn't that a Bush, more, you know, Bush war toys? That's what it brings to my mind. Of course, Obama's spending some money on toys too, I guess. Most elegant protester prize, a man pulled his private historical schooner into the harbor with the help of the friends. Left on the ship in full view of the symbol multitude were wooden crates stenciled T on the side, and a few more were scattered on the docks. Well, that's interesting. Another fine touch, the only Annapolis could offer, a patriot in a Revolutionary garb, shirking duty from the state capital's tours to take a stand. His trusty mount, a Segway, poised high and proud, he held a flag aloft. We drank our morning espresso with him in the coffee shop nearby before we, penetrating the dense brush of demonstrations, he was delightful and said imparting, see you on the other side of the breach. And there's a picture of him on his Segway with a Ben Franklin hat and holding a big American flag on his Segway. Oh boy. No one voiced this aloud, but stickers wrapped around stems of umbrellas proclaimed, impeach Obama. Now let me say, tell you folks, I spent about a year, every single week almost, I missed a couple, every week wanting impeachment of Bush. And these guys are talking impeach Obama? Are they out of their minds? I mean, for Pete's sakes, did I see any of these people when it was Bush screwing up? I mean, heck, I didn't vote for Obama. And there's some things I don't like about him, believe me. But this is just insanity. It didn't even make sense. I continue. We already wooed Europe with our stupidity in the impeachment process of Clinton. Now is she used the right as a prophylactic measure? After braving 2 hours of wind and torrential rains, your hearty whiskey and gunpowder headed for the bar, warm Irish coffees, and carried on a heated political discussion with our fine barkeep, who gave Gary a free beer. Hey, welcome to part two. This is April 21st, and you're with Joe Anybody, and I'm on part two of my whiskey and gunpowder podcast, and I'm going to try to do another podcast of a different subject following this one. It was supposed to be a two subject. It's now already a two part, and we're still on the first subject. I'm reading about the Tea Party from the Whiskey and Gunpowder website. So this is somebody writes in and tells the story. I quote, I attended the New York City Tea Party with my kids. I wanted them to experience political activism by protesting out of control government and mad deficit spending bailout, boondoggles that will encumber them for the rest of their lives. In the rapid dissension into socialism granted in the bailout bill without public discussion or vote, the Congress voted for the bill without the benefit of reading it, an act for which they should be imprisoned. The rally was scheduled to be held in the City Hall Park across from City Hall. The police were everywhere in clusters of 5 to 6. Police cars, vans, command vehicles lined the streets. They had the park closed and barricaded. Police would not let anyone walk around to the south if they were carrying a sign. We tried to walk across the park, but we were refused admission by the police. I asked if this was not a public park. Now, here in Portland, at the Tea Party at Pioneer Square, there was no police. I went on the record once and said I seen none, but in looking over my video footage, I did see a policeman drive by. But compared to all the protests I've been to in Portland, and most of them are all peace protesting and civil rights and the like on that realm, I always see police. Here you get a 1,000 conservative right-wing anti-tax people, anti-Obama, anti-socialists in the square, and there's no cops in Portland. Yet we read, precariously enough, over New York City, place was full of police and really doing a lot of crowd control. Blocked off a city park. That's what makes this topic kind of interesting. As I continue reading, okay, I asked if this was not a public park. And they admitted it was, but they refused entry. My teenage girls carried their signs, folded it up, and out of sight. I tried to encourage them to hold them out with pride, but they told me they felt scared and intimidated by the police. Isn't that something? Poor teenage little kids getting scared of the cops because they're with their dad going out to... That's just terrible. See, it's uncalled for. There's no reason that this kind of attitude starts to resonate. Because these kids aren't just an isolated case of a couple kids who are scared in New York. This is all over the place. That fear. I know that fear. Okay. I tried to encourage them to hold them up pride, but they told me they felt scared and intimidated by the police. We were routed up several blocks, then across, then down to get to the rally. The park remained empty and barricaded. Police had set up metal barriers along the street so that there was only a narrow lane between the street and the metal fence of the park. This resulted in a diffused body that was half spread out over a quarter mile down the Broadway and half on the sidewalk on the other side of Broadway and across the closed side street. You cannot move or get close to the speakers. And there's a picture here of this barricade metal with lots of people all crowded in behind it. It's not a... I can only see maybe 20, 30, 40 people in this picture. But the energy of the crowd was good, but had fewer and not as good signs as the ones out west. There might have been 1,000 people there. Rough guess. I was appalled by the feeling of repression and complete disregard for free speech and public assembly rights essential to our Bill of Rights. I heard people complaining that they were not being permitted to walk where they wanted to. When we were ready to leave, we gave our signs away so the police wouldn't block our route back to the car, but they wouldn't let us walk a block south to our car. We were told we had to go north, across, and back down about 8 blocks out of our way. Do you believe this? Do you believe what you're reading? And if you really want to get down to brass tacks and you find out why this happened, I don't even think you're going to get a legitimate, decent, good-sounding, rounded, thoughtful answer back as to why this type of activity happens. Outside of just police control and a way to control and be in control. The people won't be in control, the police will be in control. The police are there to keep control, not be in control. You know, the people should have the right. You don't take away their right when they haven't even done anything wrong except for assemble and exercise their right. You don't take away their rights because they want to exercise their rights. I tell you, I didn't support much of any of these signs that any of these guys were carrying around. But this kind of crap about the parks and blocked off and turned around, I've seen that crap. And unless it's really justified, but when we start getting into justification, that takes on a whole nother thing too. Because what I consider justification and maybe what the police or the city consider justification are two different stories. And the right to assemble, the right to protest, the right to be in public, the right to free speech, the right to speak up, and I think it's even our right to get rid of the government that's in charge, that if they're behaving illegally or wrong. As I go back to reading, though, the stoic expressionless response of the cops saying, "It's not my idea, just following orders," is scary to experience because it makes me see the armed forces aren't there to defend the Constitution. They're there to execute the orders of the superiors as directed by whatever politician happens to hold the power. Didn't they take an oath to defend the Constitution as I did? Why is there no accountability for this? Then I remembered that the president took the oath as well. The way that this was handled does not reflect well on New York City. It's the same heavy-handed treatment that the protesters received during the political convention, for which New York City is still handling the many civil actions. The humorous piece for me when we left the party was when my kids said that they were relieved because they had thought I was the only one who felt this way about the government handling of the economy. Now, those poor kids probably were relieved. That's the thing, is when you make it really scary and hard to be outspoken or to go raise your voice, you make it scared, it disenfranchises you and you tend to shy away from standing up for what's right.